And turning your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We have been going through the book of Ephesians, which is a book about cosmic reconciliation, that in Jesus Christ, God, through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, is reconciling to himself all things, things in heaven and things on earth. And we have seen also that in line with that, the church is a new humanity for this new creation, which will be. And in line with that, we have come to what are known as household codes, the section dealing with wives, husbands, children, and then servants, typical composition of a typical household at the time Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And Christian people are the new humanity and should show by the way they live together what God intended the human race to be. Very important that we note this, all right? We don't want to be so narrowly focused that we miss the forest for the trees, all right? The big picture is that Christian people are the new humanity, and we are to show by the way we live together what God intended the human race to be. The church is the fullness of God's purposes for human history, the human race united with God and with one another in love. And having said that, we notice also that this passage with respect to husbands today takes us from the dawn of time all the way up to the present as well, referring to Adam and Eve, the first wedding, and then addressing the family of the church in Ephesus, and by the Spirit of God addresses you and me here today. Now, we're going to be looking particularly at the section about husbands, but this has bearing to those who are single and want to be married in that it is aspirational for you. One should aspire to what is spoken of here. It is also addressing those of you that are single and female in as you consider potential prospects for a mate, what you should be looking for. And also children are concerned about this as well, for this is what you are to mature into. So though we address husbands specifically here this morning, there is indeed something for everyone. But having said that, let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come to your word and we are thankful that the Holy Spirit who caused this word to be written through the Apostle Paul is at work even here, even now. And we pray that he would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and that he might bestow us with grace and faith to respond appropriately to bring honor to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll read the whole section beginning in verse 22, wives and then husbands. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. 2 points to the sermon this morning. We'll be here in these verses for at least two Lord's days. First of all, love explained, and secondly, love exemplified. Love explained and love exemplified. But by way of introduction, William Hendrickson said this: "No institution on earth is more sacred than that of the family, and none is more basic. As is the moral and religious atmosphere in the family, so will it be in the church, the nation, and society in general." Somewhat heightens the stakes as we talk about marriage here, does it not? And it needs to be said, as we have considered a couple of weeks ago, that we are engaged in cosmic warfare when we talk about the family. Just think, Paul mentions Adam and Eve in verse 31, mentions Adam and Eve, and Satan was right there. Satan hated marriage. Satan hated God's good gift of a wife to Adam. And Satan has been attacking and attempting to destroy the family ever since. The division which resulted from Adam and Eve, the consequence of a woman who sought to dominate her husband and a husband who seeks to tyrannize his wife as a result of sin, has been the perpetual perennial problem in marriages down throughout the centuries. The stakes are high. The danger is real. Let's look at love explained and love exemplified. First of all, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, if you can recall back to the previous verses or the sermons on the previous verses, we're told that the husband is the head of the wife. And yet, when Paul turns to husbands, he doesn't say rule over her. He says love her. Significant. Significant. Love your wives. And what kind of love? Love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We live in an age of romanticism where the understanding and definition of love has been so twisted and distorted into sentimental mush that we read our Bibles in light of that. And we need to understand what love is according to the Bible. It's not talking about sentimentalism at all. Look at the text. It's very clear here. Love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Did he emote? Did he have an infatuation? Was he on an emotional high? No, look at the text. He gave himself for her. The two dynamics or the polarities around which this text revolves are: love is to be sacrificial, and love is to be sanctifying. Love is to be sacrificial, and love is to be sanctifying. First of all, then, love is a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. Love in the Bible is giving, not getting. It's doing, not feeling. It's action, not emotion. When John tells us in that famous verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world, he wasn't talking about his emotional life. He gave himself. God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. Exactly what Paul says here. Husbands, love your wives in that way, giving yourself for them as Christ gave himself for his bride. Love is giving oneself to another person. In relation to wives, you are to love your wife, not rule over, not subdue, but love them. This is a clear and certain command of God. And men have no right to expect or require that their wives follow the prescriptions in the preceding verses until they themselves are following the prescriptions in these verses. Love calls on a man, a husband, to be neither a wimp abdicating responsibility, nor to be some kind of macho muscle man that just throws his weight around in an authoritarian fashion. But rather, it's to be Christ-like loving leadership. Love is a verb. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's to be sacrificial. And then love exemplified is exemplified in, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, what's often mistaken here, and I just want to note tangentially a correction, what Paul is teaching here is not that we are to learn about Christ and the church from human marriage. Rather, that we are to learn about human marriage from Christ and the church. That's very different perspective, all right? And the love that is exemplified is following after the example of Jesus Christ's love for his bride, for the church. And I need to preface my comments here by saying what I am about to say is not an indication that I have already obtained all this. I fall far short. I'm more than willing to admit my shortcomings and my faults and my sins with respect to my own responsibilities. But this is what it means for husbands to love your wives. So I have had to preach this sermon to myself before I can really preach it to you. All right? So be assured of that. All right? All right. First of all, I have 11 points. 11 points. Yeah, you like that, right? You didn't get that in Paris, did you? All right, one. What does it mean to love your wife? Spend time with your wife. Spend time with your wife. Jesus did. He spent time with his bride, with his people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the teaching about marriage, husbands and wives, is in no way exhausted by what we read in these verses in Ephesians 5. And we'll have occasion, I think, at some point in the future to look at other passages to fill out what we find here. So what we did in looking at wives, what we're doing in looking at husbands, is only an initial perusal of all that the Bible has to say about men and women, husbands and wives. But in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 7, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That takes time. It takes spending time with somebody. Live with your wives in an understanding way. And if I could say this in our egalitarian age, without offending anybody, I hope it needs to be said, men ought not to think of women as men. Men and women are different. And they think differently. And they do a lot of things differently. And all too often, we, men, husbands, make the mistake of treating women or wives as if they're like us. They're not like us, all right? So it takes time. Spend time with your wife. Live with her in an understanding way. Get to know her. Don't assume, don't act like she's just like you, all right? Spending time with your wife communicates loudly that she's important. It tells her that she's special to you. Elsewhere, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you invest time in someone, your heart follows. All right? So spend time with your wife. Secondly, talk to her. This is what Paul is talking about here with respect to the sanctifying influence of Jesus Christ on his bride, the church. He washes her with water with the word. That is, he speaks to her. He communicates to her. All right? So spend time with your wife and talk to her. Don't treat words like I love you as curses. All right? Mouth them and mouth them often. How can a woman feel loved if you don't talk to her? One researcher said something interesting. Men on average speak 25,000 words a day and women 30,000. Unfortunately, men have finished their 25,000 by the time they get home from work and the wife hasn't started her 30,000. It It's especially important for mothers that are home all day with monosyllabic dialogues. They need a little mature discussion when you get home. Talk to her. Pray for your wife. Christ intercedes on behalf of his church. And this is how to deal with her faults, is by praying for her. The fifth commandment, the catechism says that we bear with the failings of others. That's why you're there. Sanctifying influence, right? Praying for her. An aunt, well, you know, remember how the Proverbs teach us lessons by looking at the creatures of the field and animals, various animals. An aunt will vomit up venom before approaching his mate. That's not how a husband should approach a wife. A grandmother was asked by her granddaughter at the 50th wedding anniversary, "How is it that you've had such a long, happy marriage?" Grandmother said, "The day we were married, I resolved to make a list of 10 faults in him that I would overlook." "What were they?" she was asked. She responded, "I never made a list. But every time he did something, I said, good thing for him, it's one of the 10. That passage about love in 1 Corinthians 13 is particularly instructive. By the way, there's not an emotional word mentioned in that chapter. They're all doing volitional words, right? But one of the things it says very important is love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Turning back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 again, interestingly, Peter says, "Live with your eyes in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Very interesting. So that your prayers may not be hindered. If you won't protect your wife and respond to her needs by praying for her, God says, then I won't protect you and respond to you either. Very interesting. It's an important lesson to keep in mind. Look at verse 28 in Ephesians 5. Fourthly, protect her. That's what Christ does for his bride. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Protect your wives from want. Protect your wives from harm. Protect your wives from unreasonable demands so she's not taxed beyond her ability to bear. If you have to, say no for her. No, she's too tired. No, she's too busy. No, she's too drained. No, she can't do it. Protect her. Fifthly, instruct her. This is verse 26 and 27. "That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." Instruct her as Christ served, by leading and teaching. This means that men should be spiritual leaders in the home. One of the glories of being a husband is being a spiritual leader. It means you must know what you believe and why you believe it. It means you should have a good, see if I can do this, you have a good grip on this book, that you know your way around it, that you're able to navigate it for your wife's instruction, for her edification, for her sanctification, for her growth in grace. Instruct her. This can be tough, admittedly, all right? A man was asked, "Why did you stop giving your wife driving lessons?" He responded, "We had an accident. I told her to release the clutch and she let go of the steering wheel." Instruct your wife. Be patient. Sixthly, bless her. Notice how Peter in 1 Peter 3 says, bestow honor on your wife. I would encourage you to say, God bless you, to your wife. This is a lesson I learned early on, and have talked about it. It's very common in, excuse me, Hispanic homes particularly, where people frequently say to one another, God bless you, God bless you. Say to your wife, God bless you. Many men can't do this because they themselves are not men of God. They don't sense their authority is coming from God, but try to make it up in their own brute strength. Seventhly, encourage and commend her. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 31, particularly instructive. Proverbs 31. We'll get to Proverbs 31 in talking about wives and women eventually, God willing, but for here, application for men. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Bless your wife. It was a practice in our home, just for illustration, not that we were perfect or an example in perfection in any way, but at least on Mother's Day, once a year, we would have all the children stand up around the table and say, God bless you, Mommy. Bless your wives. Bless them. Look at verse 29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's the blessing that a man bestows upon his wife, the Proverbs 31 woman. Boast about her to other people. Don't bring faults out for public display. Don't criticize her in front of others, especially children. Extol her virtues to others. Billy Sunday said this. He said, try praising your wife even if it frightens her at first. Eighth, provide for her. Back to Ephesians, verse 28. Provide for your wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Provide her with everything necessary for body and soul, just as Christ provides for the church. Ninth, assist her. When the baby starts to cry, do not say, honey, come in here and get the baby. That communicates loud and clear that you don't assist her, you don't love her. Help in all the details of running a busy home. It's, you know, one of the funniest things I can think of. People say to, they've said it to Julia, they've said it to many people in the congregation, I'm sure. Do you work or are you a homemaker? You got to be kidding me. My wife runs circles around the house. I can't even keep up with her. I get exhausted just watching all that she does. It'd be a delight to go out and work 8 hours a day rather than take care of a home and 5 kids. So assist her, men. Assist her. Do the dishes. Go to the store. Change the diapers. Know what it's like for her. Know what it's like to be a wife, a mother, a homemaker, whatever. Tenth, be affectionate. Show her you regard her as a precious gift from God. Make her feel always loved and appreciated. The widow of General Phil Sheridan from the Civil War era, she was a widow for 20 years after her husband died. She was asked the question why she never remarried. She said this, I would rather be the widow of Phil Sheridan than the wife of any living man. She had been treated like a queen, and it brought forth loyalty and devotion. 11th, be an example. Be an example. This is where the rubber meets the road. Demonstrate your own submission to God. Demonstrate you fear God. Very important. Show that you tremble at his word. And then there's no trouble for a wife to submit, because she knows that both you and she are accountable to God. We'll deal with this when we come to children as well. Children need to see that you're accountable to God, that the buck doesn't stop with you, the buck stops with God, and you have to answer to an authority above yourself, right? Show your wife what it means to submit to a higher authority and a higher standard. I've used this illustration before, but it's a very powerful one, and I'll close with it this morning. Model Christ's love for the church, sacrificial and sanctifying. I was conducting marital counseling a number of years ago in Michigan, nobody here, all right? And it was a particularly problematic relationship this husband and wife had for a number of reasons I won't get into. But the wife said to me, when I realize how much Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me, I'm willing to do anything for him, anything that he asks. The light went off in my head and I said, that's it. When a husband loves his wife in that way, in such an overwhelming, sacrificial, and sanctifying manner, then a woman submitting to a man like that, it's not an issue. It's not an issue. And of course, when a woman responds in devotion and loyalty to a husband in that way, it just draws out of him even more love and more giving and more praise. And so when one feeds the other feeds the one, and it goes back and forth, and that relationship grows and deepens and broadens and becomes richer and deeper and better over the course of time. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We'll continue this next week, Lord willing. For now, let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us grace. We realize that we are sinners, and realize that as men, as women, as husbands, as wives, we fall prey to the wiles of the devil. We know that he assaulted Adam and Eve and drew them into sin. And he has been assaulting marriages and the family ever since. We know that we ourselves today are engaged in a cosmic war, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Help us, Father, to be exemplary in this regard, that we might demonstrate to the world something of the love of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. And we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen and amen.